Mate Ephraim, when he talks about the various minhagim that we have during this season of year, he highlights what is a minhag that has become a very popular minhag in all of our communities, and that is Noagim b'Medinas Elu Lomar b'chol yom Rosh Chodesh Elul ad Yom Kippurim. We have the practice beginning with Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, that Achar Gemar HaTfila, at the end of davening, Boker Ba'erev, every morning and every evening, we say LeDavid Hashem Ori. The Mate Ephraim writes that we do it not only until Yom Kippur, but we extend the recitation of this paragraph even post Yom Kippur, and we say it also on Shmini Atzeres. The question is, why exactly do we do so? What's the significance, what's the connection between this time of year and the David Hashem Ori? So there on the bottom of the page, in the Elef Lamate, he explains as follows. He says that the Medrash writes that when we say Ori V'Yishi, Ori is a reference to Rosh Hashanah, that's the day of light. Yishi is the day of my salvation, which is a reference to Yom HaKippurim. And Ki Itzbineinu B'Sukko, that's a reference to the Yom Tov of Sukkos that is coming up. So that's the basic understanding, that's the basic interpretation that many of us, I'm sure, have heard. And the Torah Tamima points out in his Sefer Baruch Sha'amar that he always found that very troubling, because yes, you're right, you have a Medrash that says that Ori is Rosh Hashanah and Yishi is Yom HaKippurim. But he said he has another medrash that says that this is a reference to something totally different. It's a reference to the experience of Kriyas Yamsuf. He writes that the medrash says, Ori is a reference to the pasuk Vayayar Es HaLaila, when it came time to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, the whole night, Laila Kayom Yoyer, the whole night was lit up like it was the middle of the day. And when we say Yishi, that's referring to Hisyatzvu Uru'u Es Yeshuas Hashem, that you should stand still and watch the incredible miracle that God is unfolding in front of your eyes. So this is really a reference to Kriyas Yamsuf. It doesn't have any connection at all to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And therefore the Torah Tamima is led to ask, why shouldn't we also recite this paragraph on Pesach in order to remind ourselves of the experience of Ori V'Yishi, which was Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. So that's an interesting point. But as we know, our practice is that we say it only at this time of year. We do not recite it at the time of year of Pesach. The Panim Yafos, one of the Mefarshim on Chumash, writes that the motive, another reason why they recite the David Hashem Ori at this time of year specifically. And again, he writes that it's not connected at all to the fact that Ori is a reference to Rosh Hashanah and Yishi is Yom HaKippurim. But rather, he says, because now we know this time of year is the time of Slichus, it's the time of Tshuva, the time of Kapara. And one of the highlights of the Tshuva process is the recitation of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, that we say, Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lechanan. So he says, in this Pizmon and Tehillim, we have 13 references of Shem Hashem in this one kapitel Tehillim. And therefore he says it's supposed to remind us of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. That's the interpretation that he has. This is also probably just a guess. It's not clear exactly where the minhag came from. The Vilna Gaon rejects the whole concept of reciting this paragraph. The Vilna Gaon, as he does with many other practices that we have, which are additions to davening, the Vilna Gaon rejected many of those. For example, saying Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid before beginning Pesukah DeZimra, he didn't like adding the Shir Amalos at the beginning of Maariv, that the Sfardish and Hagim have the not Sfaradim, I think Nusach Sfarad has the practice to add that on, so he didn't like that either. Could be, I don't know, but he wasn't happy with the Shir Shal Yom, that we should add another Shir Shal Yom on Rosh Chodesh and the Shir Shal Yom of the day. So the Vilna Gaon over here also, some suggest it's because of Tircha de Tzibura, the davening is long enough as is, we don't have to now make extensions and find reasons why we're adding new things onto the davening, let's just keep it the way it is. Anyway, most of us follow the opinion, not of the Vilna Gaon, most of us follow the opinion of normative practice, which is that we say the David Hashem Ori during this time of year. And as we mentioned, these reasons are nice reasons, but it's not clear that they are really the proper reason why this was instituted. And therefore it leaves room for us, my father always taught me that, when you have something that we do and there are 10 reasons, it means there's another 10 reasons. It means none of those reasons are really the right ones, and it means there might be another 10 reasons why we do it, and you have perhaps room to add your own interpretation as to why it is that we say this paragraph. Sir Rav Asher Weiss once told me the following. He has his own understanding as to why it is that perhaps we mention this tefillah during this time of year, and he started with the following Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Tainus Daf Ches that in the days of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, havi kafna umusna. In the days of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, they had two major issues that were going on in the community. One was that it was a famine. Nobody had any food. And the second problem, totally unrelated, was the fact that people were dying. There was a plague of death. And people were dying just for no good reason. They didn't really understand what the reason was. Nobody really had terrible illnesses. And all of a sudden, they were just plagued with death. So the people got up and they got together and they said, Amri Hechinavid. They said to each other, what should we do? Nibai Rachami Atarti? Should we go and beseech God and ask him that he should stop the famine and he should stop the death? Lo Efshar. We don't have the ability to ask for two different things, which is a very, very fascinating concept. Mara assumes you don't have a right to ask for two different things. You only have a right to single out your tefillah and ask for one individual request that you want. You don't have a right to ask that God should cure everybody from the plague, and he should also make sure that the famine goes away. That's what the Gemara assumes here. So, how do you make a choice of which one to daven for? Both of them are very important. Both of them are extremely critical. They're destroying our community, both problems. So what do we do? So the Gemara says, Elali bari rachame amusna. So they had to make a choice. So they made the difficult choice, and they said, we're going to get together. We're going to daven all together that God should stop people from dying. V'kafna nizbol, and we'll have to deal with the fact that there's a famine. So we'll be kept alive at least. We won't have any food, but we can only daven for one issue, and that's what we're going to choose, because it's better to have life. Then the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani hears this discussion, and he says, no. You're right. You can't ask for two different requests. You can't ask for two different things. You have to specialize the tefillah and single it out for one need that you have. However, he said, if I was going to choose one of those two issues, I would ask Nibai Rachame Akafna. I would ask that God should stop the famine. Why? Because if God is going to do a miracle and stop the famine, why would he provide everybody with food if they're just going to die the next day? He wouldn't do a miracle without having something that the miracle is going to take effect on. So therefore, by asking for this one, we would end up solving both problems. By asking that God save us from the famine, now he's going to sustain us with food, now he's going to give us everything we need, and now he's going to make sure to keep us alive to enjoy the miracle that he just performed. So that's the etza that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani gave. And he said, how do we know that you're not allowed to daven for two different things? Ask the Gemara, where does this concept come from? So he quotes that the Pasuk says, V'natsuva v'navaksha me'elokeinu al zos. We will fast and we will ask God al zos, which means on this. And the Gemara learns from there, Mechlal de'ikatarti. It sounds like there were two different things going on. And yet the Navi comes along and says, V'natsuva v'navaksha, and we're going to ask only al zos, only on one. So you see from here, you're only allowed to ask for one thing. You cannot ask for two disparate, for two totally different requests that you have of God. And this is a very interesting concept, and this is a premise that not only the Gemara has, but this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Lahalacha as well, that this is something that we are careful about. The Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchas Tanis, Tzibur Shahayu Lehem Beis Tzaras. Let's say you have a community that's going through two very traumatic difficulties. Ein Mevakshim Rachamim Ela Al Achas Mehem. You have to choose which one you're going to single out as being what we're going to focus our attention on. Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Notsuma v'nevakshim elokeinu alzos, as the Gemara learns, v'omrim, and we say, afal pisha yesh b'libeinu tzaras rabos, we say to God in the tefillah, even though we have so many things that are on our minds, there are so many things that we want to daven for, al tzara plonis ba'nu l'isbalo. Yes, we have a lot of things that we need in life, but we're coming today just to beseech your mercy, this one issue, and we're not going to talk about everything else. V'im yesh lahem tzaras rab tzaras dever, and the Gemara goes through, the Shulchan Aruch goes through and talks about the same case that the Gemara described about what do you do when you have a famine and you also have a plague, which one should you daven for? Okay, so that's the basic premise. The Archas Chaim, one of the Mefarshim in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, he's written by the Sipinka, one of the Chassidish Gedolim, but it's printed in the back. So he writes that this psak in the Shulchan Aruch and this whole discussion in the Gemara is only talking about when you have unusual situations. The Gemara is describing a case here where you have a community that's suffering a famine, very unusual, and a community that's suffering a terrible plague. So in a case like that, you have to focus your attention on one of the two, and you have to decide which one is more important to daven for. However, he writes, when you're talking about just yom yomi, when you're talking about daily needs, when you're talking about a parnasa that I need, and a refuah that I need, and I just normal things in order that I should be able to live life in a normal, natural way, that he says the Gemara was never discussing that, and this is the justification why we have in Shmona Esrei so many different bakashas that ask for so many different things, because all of that just makes us have a normal life that we can live naturally and we don't have to be pulled in a million different directions. So that's basically the understanding as to why we do what we do. However, the problem is on the Yomim HaNoraim, we don't just ask for normal, natural course of events. We don't just ask for regular parts of life. We ask for things that are so above and beyond nature, things, tefillos, we offer that we would never offer throughout the rest of the year, because Rosh Hashanah is the day that we know we want to save ourselves from calamities that can take place throughout the year. And that's why in Rosh Hashanah we go above and beyond, and we ask for things that generally in Shemona Esrei we don't ask for. And therefore, when we come to a time like that in Rosh Hashanah, Rav Asher Weiss pointed out, we come back to this problem. You're only allowed to single out your tefillah to speak about one particular issue that you want to save yourself from. So why do we have a right on Rosh Hashanah and throughout the experience of Yomim HaNoraim to ask, Avinu Malkeinu, we ask for all these different things that are so above and beyond the normal course of events of life. Why do we have a right to do that if in fact it violates the principle that the Gemara has and it violates the principle that the Shulchan Aruch writes about focusing our attention on one particular objective? So Rav Asher Weiss suggested maybe this is why we say L'David Hashem Ori, because L'David Hashem Ori provides the answer for this very difficult question. In L'David Hashem Ori we say one very critical pasuk. Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem osa avakish, shifti b'beis Hashem kol yimei chayai. Which basically, the way he understood it is, it frames all of the tefillos of this time of year. Why am I asking that we should be saved from this calamity or from that problem? Why am I asking that I should have a refuah? Why am I asking that I should have a parnasa? Why am I asking for things that I normally wouldn't ask for and that are so me'al hateva? You know why? Because all of it boils down to one point. Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem osa avakish. All that I want, all that I ask for is just to get me to the one goal. I focus all of my attention on one objective, on one purpose. That is that I want to be shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai, that I want to be able to perform your mitzvahs, to be a Jew that's going to keep to everything I'm supposed to do. And that's why all of these tefillos really boil down to one particular purpose. They're all subsumed under that one idea of shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai. And he suggested maybe this is why we say this prayer throughout this time of year, to remind ourselves that all that we're going to daven for, all that we request of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have so much on our minds, all boils down to one point, to keep our goal focused and to understand that everything that we're asking for is just that we should be able to live lives of being an Eved Hashem, and keeping that in mind at all times to remind ourselves that Shifti B'Veis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai is the ultimate objective of everyone, and that's why we have a right to ask for perhaps more than one thing when we come to daven on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, and throughout the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. There is a medrash that tells us a fascinating story about Rabbi Kiva. It says Rabbi Kiva was giving shir one day, and the Gemara tells us, the medrash says that Bikshu Ha'am Lehisnamnim, Rabbi Kiva was giving a shir, and all of a sudden people started falling asleep. See, it's not a new phenomenon. So Rabbi Kiva didn't know what to do. How's he going to wake everyone up? So he says, Amar. So he decides, he says the following, Ma Ra Esther Shatimlo Ha'kuf Kuf Chav Zayim Medinos. You know, I'm wondering. He tries to catch everyone's attention. He says, you know, how did Esther rule over 127 countries? How's it possible? How can he do such a thing? So he answered, you know, because Esther comes from Sarah Imenu. Esther's ancestor was Sarah Imenu. And Sarah lived till the ripe old age of 127 years, 127, 127, and that's where she was able to do it. And so everybody woke up, because that's a startling statement. What does the 127 years of Sarah Imenu have to do with Esther's 127 countries that she was governing over? And that's a mysterious line that Rabbi Kiva said to the Talmidim at the time that he was trying to wake them up in the middle of Shir. So you can say it was just a joke. He was trying to just get everyone's attention. So he made some strange configuration of numbers to try to wake everyone up. But we're talking about Rabbi Kiva. He probably didn't make up Laffy Taffy jokes and say them in the middle of Shir. He probably had a little more chachma than that, and he probably had a lot more to share than just play on the words. That is 127 here, 127 there. So what's the idea here? So Rav Asher Weiss told me also that perhaps the reason in that is the following. The Pasuk tells us by Sarah Imenu that she was 127 years old. And Rashi says there, Basmeya kibas Esrim, when she was 100, she was like she was 20. When she was 20, she was like 7. Kulan shavin letova. All of her years were incredibly gifted years. All of them were used for one sole purpose. All of them were doing Avodas Hashem. Kulan shavin letova. She was busy in all those 127 years doing the Ratzon Hashem and nothing else. So you can ask yourself, how can somebody govern over 127 countries? How's it possible? I try to just govern over my own house. I can't have it under control. I try to get my kids to go to sleep on time. I can't figure out how to do that. How can you figure out how 127 countries? We can't find a president who can run Yeshiva University. We can't find the president who's going to run this country. We can't find a candidate. How are you going to have someone who's able to have 127 countries on their head? It's impossible. How can he do such a thing? And that was the kasha that Rabbi Kiva was asking his Talmidim. How can you have somebody who's going to successfully do that? And the answer is, he says, he learns from Sarah Imenu. What was Sarah Imenu's life? Her whole life was one objective, being an Eved Hashem from beginning to end, never losing focus of the goal, never allowing yourself to go away from your fixation of making sure, is what I'm doing right now, is it part of what the Eved Hashem is supposed to be doing? Am I furthering the will of God, or am I going further away from the will of God? If you live a life like that, like Sarah Imenu, of kulam shavin letova, of always keeping your eye on the goal, of always staying focused, of always concentrating on where you're going and what it is that you need to get to that place, then there's no problem. You can have 127 countries under your watch. As long as you're focusing, as long as you're concentrating, you'll have no problem being successful in running that either. And that's perhaps the understanding of why Rabbi Kiva says, Esther Hamalka gets the strength from Sari Menu because she learned from the life lessons of Sari Menu. Why was a Bas Kuf, why was a 100-year-old woman able to be the same as when she was 20? Because Kulan Shavan Latova, all of her years were spent with one goal, with one objective, never taking her eye away from the goal, and that is, I want to be the greatest Eved Hashem that I possibly can be, and nothing is going to push me or steer me away from doing just that. That's how a person can live 127 successful, fruitful years, and that's how Esther Hamalka is also able to run 127 countries, always keeping herself focused on the goal. And this is what we ask as well. Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem osa avakish. We remind ourselves that the entire experience that we have now is also to do the very same. Shivti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai. To keep ourselves on the goal. That is always what everything in life is supposed to be going toward. That is what every move that we make is always supposed to be furthering the will of God and furthering whether or not we are a part of the will of God. This is why every time when we have the experience of a Yamam HaNaram, we make sure to say the piyut of Adavar Hashem Ori, because it reminds us that the focus of all of our tefillos, that the focus of all of the Masim Tovim that we do, of everything, all the chesed, is all just to be an Eved Hashem. Lachazaz benam Hashem ulevaker behechalo. That's all I want, is to make sure that I'm going to continue to push myself in that direction, to always make sure that my eye is on the goal and my eye is on the objective, and I never veer away from that. And you'll notice, the Mefarshim point out, what do we say? Shifti beveis Hashem, I'm sorry, Acha sha'alti meis Hashem is in Lashon Avar. Acha sha'alti, it's what I asked. Osa avakesh means it's what I will ask in the future. So what is it? How come David HaMelech switches tenses? The answer is because David HaMelech is saying, Acha sha'alti, what I wanted when I was younger is the same thing Osa avakesh now. It was to do the Ratzon Hashem. It never changed. Sometimes in life you have people have a midlife crisis. Why? Because their goal doesn't stay the same throughout life. There are things that I want when I'm 20, things that I want when I'm 30, and when I'm 50, all of a sudden my perspective changes, I want something else. That's why they have a midlife crisis. If somebody is living life always, Acha sha'alti, what I wanted when I was young was to be an Eved Hashem, Osa avakesh, when I'm old, it's the same thing, I always have my eye on the objective, it's always going to be the same, they'll be able to live life always doing just that. And that's what we learn from Sarah Imenu, that's what we learn from Esther Hamalka, and this is something why we have the right to daven in these days for so many different things, because all of the requests that we ask for boil down to one very simple point, and that is we want to be an Eved Hashem, we want to serve Him as properly as we can, we want to further His will in this world, and the only way to do that is if we have all of the brachas that we ask for on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because without that we can't successfully be an Eved Hashem and do everything we have to do. So this is the perhaps a suggestion why it is that we recite L'David Hashem Ori, not because of Ori Rosh Hashanah, Yishi Yom Kippur. As we said, the Torah Tamimah has a problem with that, because really it should apply to Pesach season as well. But perhaps the reason why is because we want to remind ourselves all throughout this period of year that everything that we're doing, everything that we're leaning ourselves toward, everything that we're asking for is just to push ourselves closer toward what the Ratzon Hashem is and toward making sure that we bring about the Ratzon Hashem in its complete fruition in our world.